Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Jovial, caring, wacky, live and local. It's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Rob Reichel is going to join us. Forbes.com. We'll talk a lot of Green Bay Packers with him, covering the team for as long as he has. This is going to be a very unique setting for the NFL draft. Normally, a guy like Rob would go up to Green Bay and have the press conferences there and do his reporting, and our Mike Clemens would be up there, and we connect with these guys, and now nobody's going to be up there because Lambeau Field is closed, not only to reporters, not only to fans, but to the coach and to the GM. And Roger Goodell doesn't want anybody at these facilities, so come draft night, people are going to be doing all of this from their home. We talked about some of the props that are going to be interesting regarding players that are at their house. Will there be a dog in the background? Who will they hug? Will they have technology problems? One thing that teams are worried about is this new software that you guys are all using for your parties and for your happy hours and for your family and for work, Zoom. I guess it's not new, but it feels, I didn't hear of it for 2 months since this started. I've only known about it for like 2 weeks. Skype, I saw a great tweet that said Skype lost a 3-1 lead to Zoom, and that's pretty much the truth here. So with Zoom, there's this thing called Zoom bombing, where you just hack a Zoom, and you can crash these people's conferences. I did one with my family on Sunday, and it is pretty easy. It's just like a three-part, three-digit code. It's 9 digits, and you type it in, and then you're in your room. And so if I'm sitting at home, I can just keep typing digits until I get in somebody's Zoom and I can just hack it. People are doing this with classroom Zooms, and then they're doing some inappropriate things on there. If you're an NFL team, if you're the Packers and you're trying to get all your scouts together on one Zoom, who's to say that a scout from another team can't crash and figure out what you're trying to do and where you want to draft, or a fan or anybody? So this is a problem that the NFL is trying to deal with as well. We've got the technology, but it's also very hackable, so they might work off a different system. But for now, if they're going to do Zoom, they're worried about some of the technology aspects to that coming up for the NFL draft. We'll talk to Rob Reichel again about all that, the NFL draft. Do the Packers trade up? Do they take a receiver? We kicked around the idea yesterday that if this class is so deep, maybe you take a couple of receivers. First round, second round, you guys are doing these mock drafts to stay entertained. And most of you, if you don't take a wide receiver in the first round, you're taking one in the second. What if they did both? What if they did both? And we say this because we're watching the Super Bowl this past weekend. Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, then JerMichael Finley. I mean, that was an arsenal. You guys all remember the Sports Illustrated cover for sure. What if we could start to build that again as Aaron Rodgers is on the way out? Give him something like that instead of Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard, Jake Kumerow, some other guy that we have no idea, D'Angelo Yancey, back from the XFL. You know, you're giving Rodgers the last couple of years, you've been drafting receivers that played in the XFL and were bad in the XFL. That's the kind of talent that you're giving Aaron Rodgers at this point. So maybe you go 1-2 receiver and try to figure the rest out from there. We'll talk about that with Rob Reichel coming up again, Forbes.com, in just about 7 minutes. Also, Matt Schneidman of The Athletic put together his list of 10 predictions for the 2020 season. He joined the big show yesterday, if you guys missed that. Radio.com, Fan on Demand, John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. We'll go through those ourselves, Horvat and I, a little bit later here on the show. Saints fans upset at us now. Saints fans finding a reason to be upset with us. The NFL All-Decade team came out yesterday, and I think maybe it's not the most controversial, but it will be the most talked about on a lot of shows today, is Aaron Rodgers getting in over Drew Brees. So there's two quarterbacks listed for the All-Decade team, and this is not like, hey, I'm just some writer, I put this together. This is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. This is the one where we argue, well, LeRoy should be in the Hall of Fame. He's on the All-Decade team. This is that All-Decade team. And Aaron Rodgers gets in over Tom Brady. And if you look at this decade, Brees' Super Bowl came at the end of the decade prior. Rodgers' Super Bowl came in the 2010 season, this last decade. His 15-1 season came this last decade. PFF, Pro Football Focus, they argue that it should be Drew Brees, because he's been sustainably better, even though Rodgers had the highest peak. And if you look at the stats, I mean, if you just look at the stats the last 10 years, Brees, in terms of yards and touchdowns, is better. He threw for 5,000 yards 4-plus times. Aaron Rodgers had not done that at all this decade. More touchdowns for Brees than Rodgers. The passer rating, again, in that 2010 to 2014 range for Rodgers was impeccable. But I think where Brees could get the edge, where I could argue that Brees gets the edge, is unfortunately Rodgers was injured for a couple of those years. So Brees has been more durable than Rodgers. Rodgers injured for a couple of years. If you want to look at it like that, you could argue for Drew Brees. I'm putting Rodgers on mine. I think that he's a better quarterback. It's close, but I put him as a better quarterback. And he did win a Super Bowl this decade. But if I'm a Saints fan, it's very easy to craft an argument to say, yes, Drew Brees can be on this list over Aaron Rodgers. 414-799-1250. You could tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. John's in Franklin. John, good morning.
Boys, good to talk to you.
What's up, John?
Hey, you know, I'm back on the draft a little bit. You know, it seems, you know, I'm not a draft expert, but it does seem like with the plethora of receiving talent, when you get past the first couple guys, there's a lot of opinions going down the line with the next, I don't know, three to, let's say, eight guys coming off the board. It wouldn't break, I'm just going to throw this out here, man. It wouldn't break my heart if they can get their hands on one of those guys in that range and clip Jonathan Taylor in the first, with their first two picks, even if they had to move up a little bit. I'd be loving life. Aaron Jones, you're not going to be able to afford him or commit the resources. You're going to have to pay Bakhtiari and Kenny Clark. So you're going to have to save some money somewhere. And, man, how would Jonathan Taylor look in our backfield?
It's certainly a possibility. John, good suggestion. Thanks for the call. If they sit at 30, I don't know if they go with Taylor there. First round, you could see one running back, you could see three, you could see none. There's a couple of guys, the kid out of LSU and then Swift out of Georgia, Jonathan Taylor being in that mix. I don't think the Packers stay at 30. I think they trade up. I think they're going to trade up in some way, shape, or form. I don't think they trade down. I don't want them to trade down. I want them to trade up. Jonathan Taylor, you know, that'd be fine too. A wide receiver and Jonathan Taylor. I think you use the first two picks on offense, and I want to see skill positions. Offensive linemen, maybe you can find these guys, but in this draft, where there are receivers aplenty, and there is a guy like Jonathan Taylor, we'll throw him in this mix. In this draft, I want to see them first two rounds go skill player, skill player. We'll talk to Rob Reichel, Forbes.com. If he agrees, we'll throw John's suggestion off of him. More from you guys at 105.7 FM The Fan. You can call 414-799-1250. Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, in 2 minutes here on The Fan. NFL draft just a couple of weeks away. It is still going to happen virtually. So just like we're all stuck in our homes, so basically is the NFL. Will we see Roger Goodell announce the picks from his home in New York? Will we see Brian Gutekunst in a war room with Matt LaFleur in his house and John Eric Sullivan in his house? Now I'm trying to think how many scouts I can name off the top of my head. I think I just go that deep in maybe some sort of Zoom setting. You asked me to name a Packers reporter that's been killing it for years and a great author. I come up with Rob Reichel. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Robbie, how is the quarantine for you?
Well, first of all, thanks for the nice words. You must be getting my checks every week, Bart.
They get smaller each week, which I don't like, but I'm getting them.
The quarantine, we are all surviving. No divorces yet. So I guess that's a positive, and I hope you're well. I hope you're also well, my friend. So,
because you got two daughters, right?
I do, and this virtual learning is tricky. They're great students, and they plow through, and they do their work all day. But to have everybody home has certainly been tricky. And you mentioned the draft scenarios, and that's going to be wild, isn't it? When you see Matt LaFleur's kids run through the background, and when he's on TV, or Brian Gutekunst is supposed to make a pick, and here's one of his little kids running around, it's going to be fascinating for everybody, isn't it, Bart? How this new world we're operating in for the next few months is going to play itself out with this draft. There's going to be a lot of general managers out there that, you know, will try to probably use this a year or two from now as an excuse, and there's others that are going to take full advantage and think they can get a leg up on their opposition and find a way to maybe beat the guy next to them, because now the playing field's a little bit different than what we've seen here the last, you know, 15, 20 years or whatever. So it's going to be a wild night in, what, 16 days, Bart?
It is different. The playing field's certainly different, but at least it's the same for everybody. So you're right. Some GMs are going to say, well, geez, I couldn't scout properly. And some are going to say, hey, I mean, I'm not a bad scout, so I can figure this out no matter what scenario you give me. Where the Packers lie is at number 30 at this point. I still feel like they may move up in some way, shape, or form. We've talked with you before, Rob, about the receiving class. What I was doing this weekend was, I think what a lot of people were doing, was watching some old Packer games. You saw the game on NBC Sports Network. They replayed Packers-Saints first game of 2011. The Super Bowl was on Fox 45 on Sunday. And the thing that impressed me the most was the quick release from Rodgers and who he was throwing to. It was Jordy Nelson. It was Donald Driver. It was Greg Jennings. It was James Jones as your fourth guy. And then, oh, by the way, you've got JerMichael Finley. So now after watching this weekend, I've kind of adjusted. I'm thinking, all right, I want a receiver, and I want one of the top guys. So get a receiver with your first pick. But then go and get a receiver with your second pick. I want to see them double up right now on wide receivers. Is that feasible for them? Is that something you think they would do? Is that smart?
Yeah, and you mentioned that 2011 Saints game. And yeah, oh, by the way, Randall Cobb had two touchdowns in that game. And
yeah, Randall Cobb.
Right, Bart? So, yeah, no, it's amazing the wealth of talent they had, you know, 7, 8 years ago at the wide receiver position. Bart, I think it's absolutely feasible to answer your question. Gutekunst was asked that at the scouting combine, which is the last time we saw him for obvious reasons. And the comparison was used to Ron Wolf in 1999, going corner, corner, corner at the top of the draft to shut down Randy Moss. And Ron Wolf back at the time, you know, he went one for three on those. The only one he hit on was Mike McKenzie. But you know, Pudikos was asked that same question, would you take that approach with a certain position? And the position alluded to was wide receiver. And he said, I'll never say never. He goes, it's not how we really want to conduct business, but I'll never say never. And you're dead on, Bart. I mean, if they find a guy sitting there at 30, let's just say it's Justin Jefferson from LSU, the slot guy, and now all of a sudden another guy drops into their lap late in the second round, like Mims from Baylor or something like that, and they go wide out to start. Bart, I'm fully of the opinion they're going to take three in this draft, and I think at least two will be on the roster. Depending on where they go in the draft, all three could be on the roster, and then you come back next year probably with what, Adams, Lazard, and Funchess, and maybe three rookies. Again, if it's a seven, you can start on the practice squad. Maybe a guy like Kumro steals another year or something like that. But in essence, Bart, I wouldn't be surprised if it's those top three and three rookies next year. And if Gutekunst can go wide out to start this thing, I don't think that's a bad strategy, and I wouldn't rule it out whatsoever, Bart.
They haven't, the Packers, taken an offensive player with their first pick since that 2011 season when they took Derek Sherrod, number 32 overall, on the offensive line, who did not work out for them. He didn't start right away that season, and he really never did. He didn't work out for them. Then it's been defense, 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 defense. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, you saw that complement of guys that you had fade away over the years. Sure, you got Devontae Adams at the back end of the decade, but for the most part, your complement has been destroyed. And they did draft the three wide receivers a couple of years ago to varying results of unsuccessfulness. If they do it this year, they got to go high on that. Even if they go, we just had a call earlier about Jonathan Taylor. Even if you take him, looking at where Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams' contracts are up, let's throw him into the mix. Let's throw a running back into the mix. I want to see skilled guys taken. I want to see weapons for Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to – it's not sexy. I don't want an offensive lineman. I don't want that. I want to see skilled guys, top couple of picks, receivers or otherwise, because Rodgers, you know, God bless him, he's been sitting around seeing all these talented players get drafted, but he's got guys getting drafted on the defensive end. I mean, the Packers have drafted Demarius Randall and HaHa Clinton Dix and Dayton Jones and Nick Perry in the first round, while some of these other guys have become stars for other teams. If you're Rodgers, man, I hope he's got a little bit of influence this year.
Well, I don't think he will, first of all, Bart, nor, in my opinion, nor should he. The thing I'll say, Bart, and I understand your logic there, and they clearly need to get better on the offensive side of the ball, because in a number of categories last year, they were in the middle of the pack, real key categories. But at the same point in time, I mean, that NFC Championship game was 37-20, and I think San Francisco could have put up 51 if it kept playing, and they could have run for probably 400 yards instead of 300. I mean, that was an embarrassing performance on the defensive side of the ball. And they still have leaps and bounds and miles to travel with that group, too. I mean, Bart, they do need a defensive end. They need another inside linebacker. You know, if Murray from Oklahoma is sitting there at 30, if Queen from LSU is sitting there at 30, I think those are certainly options. That they're pretty good in the back end. Bart, I mean, Kevin King's up in a year, but don't worry about that, I think, down the road. I think their cornerback tandem and their combination of safeties and then the depth they have at those positions are plenty good, and they've invested heavily, certainly a corner over the last number of years that should not be an area of need. It's going to be interesting, Bart. There's going to be some interesting and some potentially dynamic outside linebackers available, too. Do you go there? And supplement that group. I know you spent a fortune on the two Smiths, but I don't think at this point they know what they have in Gary. And if they could, you know, if they could add another body to that mix, then you might not ideally want to do it at 30. But you know, I guess where I'm going with all that, Bart, is the defense probably still needs as much help as the offense does, which is remarkable, as you listed all the ones that have gone to the defensive side of the ball since 2011. You know, they haven't taken a first-round receiver, Bart, since Javon Walker, and I think that was 03. And, you know, you touched on the fact they went wide out a couple of years back, but that was rounds 4, 5, 6. So, yeah, you've got to go up and get one of those guys higher. you know, what I'm fascinated with as much as anything, Barth, is this team was 13-3, played in an NFC Championship game, and we're still sitting here talking about probably a good six positions where you could say, yep, they absolutely have a need at that spot, and the player that lines up at 30 would probably fill that need. It's pretty rare, Barth, for a team to have that impressive of a record and go as far as that group did a few months back and still have this amount of need. So Brian Gutekunst has his work cut out, no doubt, on draft night, Mark. And, you know, maybe at the end of the day, dropping from 30 to 34 and picking up an extra second or a third is his approach to this. But, you know, we'll find that out in a couple weeks.
Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, joining us here on The Fan. You watched that Super Bowl over the weekend, Super Bowl 45, and I think a lot of people did check it out. I've got it on my DVR already, so I've seen this thing 500 times. Most of it is when I have like friends over at 2 a.m. and, you know, we order a pizza and turn on the game. That's just kind of what I've always. When you come to Bart's house, you know, if it's a weekend and you're gonna have a few beverages, you're gonna watch Super Bowl 45. But
and
when I watch that,
you pop that in, Bart, and I go to Wisconsin, Kentucky, 2015. So yeah,
oh, you do.
we all have our games that we like to show the visitors at 2 a.m.
we watch that game, and you watch the Super Bowl, my game, and everybody was on the podium, and I remember that very vividly. My celebration for that Super Bowl quickly turned into my celebration for how many more Super Bowls they're going to win. Because in 2010, you thought it was going to be just Super Bowl after Super Bowl, appearance after appearance, trophy after trophy. And I asked some people on Twitter this weekend, well, why hasn't it happened more? And you can look at these drafts. You can look at all the defensive players that they swung on and missed. You can look at all of the wide receivers that I mean, those guys would retire. And then Devontae Adams is really the only guy that supplemented that. You never replaced JerMichael Finley. Nick Collins got hurt on that side. You never replaced him. You look back at these last 10 years, to you, what's the biggest thing? Why have they not even been back to a Super Bowl since that day?
Well, I honestly think the biggest thing is Aaron Rodgers has not played great in the playoffs part. He really hasn't. If you look at that 2011 season when they were 15-1, and I'm with you. I remember writing at the time, how many Super Bowls is this team going to win, right? And you looked at contracts and how young the group was, the Rodgers, the Matthews, the Nelsons of the world, Finley, Rodgers, all those people. And you thought certainly they'd get three rings or something like that at a bare minimum. But you go back and you look at Rodgers in the playoffs, Bart, 2011, that Giants team, that team was 15-1. And Bart, I want to say 15 out of the 16 games that season, Rodgers had a passer rating of 100 or higher. And his passer rating that day against the Giants was 78, and I know they didn't play any defense that day either, but he wasn't very good that day. He was okay in 12-13 against the 49ers. He wasn't good against the Seahawks in 14. He wasn't good against Atlanta in 16. Now, I know he put that team on his back in 16, but in the NFC Championship game, Bart, in the biggest game of the year, he wasn't good, and that team got in a 31-0 hole. They should have had Seattle dead and buried in 2014. Now, I put three quarters of that on Mike McCarthy, Bart, but another 20% or so goes on Rodgers, who didn't finish some drives early. And instead of that game being 16-0, Bart, it could have easily been 24-0 or something like that. And then that game's probably over. And then in this last playoff against San Francisco, I know they were clearly outmatched at 15 of the 22 spots on the field, Bart, but Rodgers was not good in that NFC Championship game either. If they're going to go back to another Super Bowl, Bart, if they're going to win another Super Bowl, the bottom line is in the playoffs, Rodgers has to look like he did in that 2010 season. And I watched that game again too, Bart. He looks like a different guy in that Steelers game with some of the chances and the throws that he takes. Now, clearly, Dallas Cephers doesn't get enough credit for that Super Bowl championship. That was one of the things that jumped out to me watching that game again over the weekend, like you, Bart, was that, you know, I mean, he's playing with, you know, a secondary at the end of that game held together by string and duct tape and Band-Aids, and he's playing with Pat Lee and Jarrett Bush, and they still found a way to win the game. So Don Capers, all these people that beat up on him all those years, should probably pop that tape in one more time and give Don Capers his credit for having a title from Super Bowl 45. But Rodgers that particular day, Bart, was – was, you know, unbelievable at clutch moments and things like that. And that has not always been the case over the last decade. And there's a lot of things you can point to, I think, Mark. And there's no doubt. I think we all agree in this state that the Packers in the last decade should have had a couple more Super Bowls. Brett Favre's Packers should have had a couple more Super Bowls. It never did happen for those groups. It hasn't happened yet, at least for this Rodgers group. But if it's going to happen again, Bart, you know, they need the highest paid or one of the highest paid quarterbacks and players in football to play like he did in that 2010 playoff run.
You know, since then, you talk about this decade, Aaron Rodgers is on the Pro Football Hall of Fame All-Decade team over Drew Brees, and then no other Packer making it. Clay Matthews tweeting out all of his accomplishments yesterday in the last decade, kind of arguing that he should be on. Aaron Rodgers deserving, yes, or should it have been Drew Brees? And then would any other Packer have deserved to be on this list?
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers is certainly deserving. And I'll be honest, I probably would have put Russell Wilson on ahead of Drew Brees as well. I mean, Russell's got won a Super Bowl, played in the second one. I think he's been to 7 Pro Bowls. You know, he came into the league in 2012, so he lost a couple of years, you know, lining up, you know, career-wise in terms of Brees and Rodgers inside this decade. But, no, I would have put Rodgers 2, and I would have put Wilson 3, and then probably Brees 4. I think Russell Wilson and everybody around here who watched that playoff game, you know, a few months back, Mark, had to leave thinking, God, this is one of the most unique talents that the league has had over the last 20 or 25 years. I mean, he almost willed a playoff win in Lambeau Field by himself, playing with guys like me and you at running back. It was ridiculous. So Russell, to me, was in the conversation. But Aaron certainly deserved it, I think. You know, you look at the stats and the records that he holds and, you know, the all-time passer rating and things to that effect. I would have put Clay on there myself. I think Clay is a greatly underappreciated player, part of this era. He doesn't quite get the love in a lot of situations where I think he should. Now, I looked at the list outside linebackers. It was pretty impressive. It was going to be hard to bump a guy. But Clay is certainly in that discussion. Clay Matthews in the earlier part of this decade was as good as anybody on the defensive side in football. And after that part, no. I mean, I don't know who else you would have put on that list. I mean, if Nick Collins plays another 6-7 years, he was trending in that direction, and he's probably, you know, the next guy that you would have thought about from that great 2010 team that maybe jumps on there. But Jordy wasn't quite good enough, I think, to trump some of those wide receivers that made it, because that was a fantastic group as well. You know, you always have to ask yourself, Bart, when you say, all right, we're going to put our guy on, but who are you going to take off? That becomes tricky. And when you do look through those lists, there's not any dead weight on there. That's for sure. So, you know, Rodgers has had really good people around him. He hasn't had Hall of Fame type of people around him. Woodson will probably be the only one. I don't think Clay's going there with, you know, less than 100 sacks, Mark, which is, I think, where he's at in his career now, 92 or something like that. So that does speak to the fact that, you know, Rodgers has carried a team at various points in time as well. But all decade, the team there, I thought overall, Bart, it was pretty rock solid.
Rob Reichel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Forbes.com, Rob Reichel on Twitter. Thanks, Robbie. Be safe and hope to see you in real life at some point soon.
Yeah, me as well, Bart. All the best to you and yours, and you guys be safe over there. See you, buddy.
Rob Reichel joining us again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. We're back in a couple minutes with more here on The Fan. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Tim Allen's going to join us at 8. We are going to talk some Major League Baseball with him and Scott Miller at 9:30. Apparently, baseball's trying to figure out a way to come back. One brewer has already shut down the idea of it happening. We will talk about that at 8 o'clock with Tim. So make sure you're tuned in to find out more there. We're talking a little Green Bay Packer football. As the draft's coming up in a couple of weeks, Matt Schneidman with The Athletic, he was on The Big Show yesterday, just wrote a piece about 10 updated and reasonable predictions for the Packers 2020 season. And I thought this would be fun. We'll go through his article, the fine work that he did at The Athletic, give him his props, and kick around this column. So I read all the 10. And then, Horvat, I asked you during the break, hey, did you look at this at all? Could you tell me what you said off air? Could you say it on the air?
Yeah, I really enjoy Matt's work, but I saw that he had Devin Funchess catching 6 touchdown passes. I'm just not very high on Devin Funchess ever since he cost me money 2 years ago with 5 drops against the Detroit Lions. And you know what's weird is that people are like...
So you saw that and you just closed out the screen.
Yeah, and I always read Matt's stuff. I love The Athletic, but I was like, okay, I'm done if we're going there. You know, and people were coming at me because I wasn't sold. I didn't really like the pickup of Devin Funchess. I get that it's cheap. I would have rather spent the money. And I get that you really can't because next year you got a lot of decisions to make. David Bakhtiari, Kenny Clark, who you have to pay, and he's going to get even more money because of what you know, some other guys are getting on the defensive line around the league. But the thing is that you can't blame Cam Newton for the drops. Everybody's like, well, imagine what he'll do with Aaron Rodgers. You know, Cam Newton hasn't been Cam Newton the last 5 years. And then, you know, last year he missed time when he was with Indianapolis. Funchess did. But it's like, Cam Newton didn't drop the ball. Like, he was putting the ball where it needed to be. The drops, that's on the receiver, not the quarterback. So I'm just not as high on Funchess. So I did pull up the article, though, so I do have it in front of me.
We'll put it in front of you guys. You can see the retweet at 105.7 FM The Fan. It's the least we can do for getting a full segment out of someone else's work.
Yeah.
All right, so Funchess catches 6 touchdowns. I'm going to say that ain't happening either. Now, the one thing about my receiver, double receiver in the draft plan that is flawed is that it's going to be hard for these guys to come back to get acclimated into a new team. Mm-hmm. So this could be a year where veterans succeed a little more than the rookies, because let's say the Packers do draft your boy Claypool out of Notre Dame, and then even, oh gosh, let's say Ruggs. Let's say they trade up for Ruggs, Alabama receiver, and then they get another one in the second round. When do those guys come to Green Bay? When do they catch their first pass from Aaron Rodgers? When do they hit the practice field for the first time as the world continues to be in this pandemic shape that it's in right now? So you would think that the edge would go to veterans that have played in the NFL a little bit, but also Funchess is a new guy. Mm-hmm. So Alan Lazard gets the benefit of the doubt. He's right now, he's going to be your de facto number 2 wide receiver because the rookies won't have the time with Rodgers, and then neither will the free agents with Funchess. So you could, I mean, Kumerow could almost be your 3 at this point just because they've had the time. Now, talent-wise, obviously, no chance, but I do think that if things start to get pushed back a little bit, that's going to be something to watch. Whether that happens or not, regular scenario, unregular scenario, irregular scenario, I will take the under on Devin Funchess catching 6 touchdowns. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
His other one, there's 10 of these. Christian Kirksey starting all 16 games at inside linebacker, just for the fact that he's been injured the last couple of years, I'll say that doesn't happen either. That would be huge if it happened for the Packers, because then they won't have to draft anybody at that situation. You let the Smith brothers do their thing. And then he does talk about Rashawn Gary in this article as well. I want to see him have a big year. To me, the whole linebacking core, we know what we have in the Smiths. I think that Kirksey, if healthy, could put up a decent season. But to me, it's all about Rashawn Gary, Horvath.
Completely agree with you, and especially, I mean, because you could rotate these pass rushers and keep them fresh. I think he went with 8 sacks, 11 tackles for a loss. That's exactly where I would go. I would love to see double-digit sacks. But like, look what San Francisco did last year with their defensive line. Those guys stay fresh because they continue to rotate them. This isn't the NFL of 1980 or 1993 where you have the same 4 down linemen and the same outside linebackers. Like, you could rotate these guys a little bit. And, I mean, the Packers, the one thing they did last year was they stayed healthy. But the last decade, they've really struggled to stay healthy, especially at the outside linebacker position. Bad memories of Nick Perry playing with one arm, Clay Matthews and his various injuries. So I think that a good way to keep the Smith brothers healthy would be rotating Rashawn Gary in there. You know, let him play with his hand in his dirt, in the dirt, as maybe a defensive end, but also play him a little bit at the outside linebacker position, because Za'Darius Smith went down a lot. I mean, he played all 16 games last year, but every other play I feel like he was on the ground, and I almost had a stomach ulcer watching it because I was worried. You can't lose either of the Smith brothers, so I hope to see a little bit more Rashawn Gary, and you would think year 2 with Mike Pettine, he could make a bigger difference.
Yeah, yesterday we ripped on Ben Roethlisberger for always pretending to be hurt and then coming back with another big play.
Zadarius
last year. First time he went down, I was panicked.
Yeah.
Second time he went down, I was worried. Third time he went down, I didn't even make a note of it because you knew he'd be right back up there
right. The
next play, and pretty much he was. In the article from Matt Schneidman at The Athletic, he says, Rashawn Gary, the most improved player. And as we talked about, we like that one, and we certainly are hoping for it. One of his other predictions for the 2020 season, a rookie replaces Rick Wagner midseason. This guy is not the right tackle of the future. I still wish they would have brought back Bulaga. Contract be damned. Maybe they're looking ahead next year because they do have to, well, they don't have to, but you would like them to re-sign, you know, Lindsley, Bakhtiari, Clark, Aaron Jones. There's a lot of money that they're going to have to pony up this next offseason, so maybe they're looking ahead with Bulaga. But, yeah, I don't think Rick Wagner is starting right tackle every game this season, so I'll agree with Matt on that one too.
I'm hoping that he is, because that would mean that you're not going tackle in the first round, because I don't see a fourth-round or a fifth-round pick starting a tackle for a team that was one game away from the Super Bowl. 30 years old, Ricky Wagner. I mean, I was all in on Brian Bulaga. I wanted to bring him back. I know that you really couldn't afford to, and I know with the injury history and whatnot, but, I mean, he's coming off of a pretty damn impressive season. So I will say Ricky Wagner does. I'll say Rick Wagner plays all 16 games and starts all 16 games for the Packers, unless they do go tackle in the first round, and then I'm going to be upset because you need to get more weapons for Aaron Rodgers. And with this wide receiver draft class, I know it's deep, and I know there's some value in the second and third round, but I want a guy like Higgins. I want a guy like CeeDee Lamb, who I know is not going to be there, or a guy like Justin Jefferson, who I continue to bring up from LSU. I want a receiver like that with some speed.
This one's more in fun, but I totally get where he's going with this. He says, Jimmy Graham with the Bears and Geronimo Allison with the Lions will both catch touchdowns against the Packers. Now, I would bet against that, but I totally get where he's going with that. Of the two, who's more likely to have a bigger game against the Packers? Jimmy Graham with Chicago or Allison with the Lions? I want to say Jimmy Graham right off the top of my head, but Jimmy Graham, I feel like when the Bears take on the Packers, they'll get in the red zone and they will throw to Jimmy Graham like three times just to really force feed him a touchdown. And he won't catch any of the passes. So I might say Allison there.
Yeah, because Jimmy Graham does this weird thing where we consider him a red zone threat because he's 6'6", former basketball player, and we remember 10 years ago when he was a force for the Saints. And even, I mean, with the Seahawks, the year before he comes to Green Bay, what did he have, 10 touchdowns, mostly in the red zone? But he does this weird thing when the Packers get in the red zone where he tries to catch the ball one-handed. He struggles to catch the ball with both hands. So I'm going to go actually Geronimo Allison, because like I said, 2 years ago, the first 4 weeks of the season, I thought he was going to be a decent replacement for Jordy Nelson. This year, I think with him and MVS, they just got in their own head. I think it was all mental. You got an offseason, most likely a long offseason. I think Geronimo still could be a difference maker. I just think he needed to change his scenery. Jimmy Graham, on the other hand, he's done. And he's got Mitchell Trubisky or Nick Foles, and I think Trubisky wins that job throwing him the football. Let's go Geronimo Allison with a healthy Matthew Stafford.
We all screwed up. All the Packer Nation screwed up. That one game where Allison, it was like 3 years ago, 4 catches, 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to replace Randall Cobb. This is your slot guy of the future. We all said it. We were all wrong. We're looking at Matt Schneidman's article from The Athletic, 10 predictions for the next season. We will continue to go through these in 60 seconds. Window Select. These guys are the place to come on out to your house. They'll do it safely for the most part. They are outside, and they can make sure as you have all this time and you're doing some home remodeling with some of the things that you realize you want done, they can come do it safely for you. Check them out, windowselect.com. They are a local Milwaukee-based company. They offer replacement windows, siding, and doors. Their products are high quality and energy efficient. Their products all come with a double lifetime warranty. For every window you buy, check this out right now, buy one, get one free on the windows, and no payments until 2021. No payments until 2021. You look at some of these things that you're currently subscribed to, some of your bills, you all get the email that says, hey, you know, we care about this COVID-19 time, and you're waiting to say, I don't have to pay this month, I don't have to pay this month. Yeah. And then it doesn't say that. It just says, oh, we're taking precautions. With Window Select, you don't have to pay until 2021. No payments until 2021 with Window Select. Check them out, windowselect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. They know their products better than anyone. They'll come do the installation. Again, they'll do it safely. Give them a call. Get that free in-home estimate. They come out to your house for free to begin with. And then right now, buy one, get one on the windows. Buy one, get one free, little BOGO. And then no payments till 2021, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. We'll talk to Tim Allen coming up at 8, talk some baseball. There's a suggestion of what they could do. One brewer already speaking out against it in terms of how they could resume the season. That coming up in about 10 minutes. More of this article with Matt Schneidman, all right, from The Athletic. He says, here's another prediction. Packers trade up from 30 in the draft. Horvat, I absolutely agree with that, and I absolutely want it. This wide receiver class is stacked. Why settle for, let's say you got 10 guys that are going to be hits. Why settle for just the number 5 or 6 guy that comes to you? Go up and get a top 3 guy, and then get a 5 or 6 guy with your second pick. That's what I want to see them do.
I don't think they do it, though. I think if anything, they trade down. Just history tells me that's probably going to be the way that it goes. I see that he lists T. Higgins, even if you want to go linebacker, which Blake Martinez says the Packers don't value inside linebackers like the rest of the league. And I think that they're actually right on that, because I think it's a little bit overrated of a position. Now, if you got guys that could actually cover with some speed and they're there, by all means, go ahead and do it. But I'm more concerned with pass rushers and the secondary staying healthy. I agree with you, though. I mean, if you're looking at tackle, you got to trade up if you want to get yourself Josh Jones. He's going way before 30. So if your move is to replace Brian Bulaga with the tackle of the future, you're going to have to trade up. Wide receiver, there's going to be value in the later rounds, but if you do want a T. Higgins, if you do want a C.D. Lamb, you're going to have to trade up, and that's what I'm hoping. I'm going to have to wait and see how it all plays out, though, because if Justin Jefferson's available or somebody like that, that's who I'm going to want to go after. I'm hoping that they trade up, but I'm also hopeful every single season in that case. I don't see it happening.
Jaire Alexander becomes one of the NFL's top cornerbacks. This one is tough because he has looked so good in certain games, and it's the primetime games where he's really shined. But there was a little bit of a regression last year. I know he's kind of miffed that he didn't make the Pro Bowl. I would like to see it happen. You throw him with the names like Darius Slay and Jalen Ramsey and Marshawn Lattimore and Richard Sherman. Will he be there by the end of the season? I'm not ready to say yes, but I think he'll improve from where he was a year ago.
Yeah, he has all the makings of a shutdown corner. And unlike, you know, Richard Sherman, he doesn't just stay on an island. He actually will shadow a wide receiver, and he'll move around a little bit. Last season, I mean, my only problem with Jaire, so last season, fourth in the NFL with 18 passes defended. The problem is he could have had, as Matt says in this article, 5 or 6 interceptions. He just needs to pick those passes off. Same thing with Kevin King. I mean, they need to force turnovers, which they did last year, and they got to the quarterback. But to win in the NFL, you have to force turnovers. I think the Chicago Bears were a great example of that 2 years ago, led the league in takeaways. This year, couldn't do the same, didn't stay healthy. I think Jaire has all the makings. He just needs to make a couple more plays. But, yeah, I would agree with that. And I like him, man, because he's a trash talker, which, I mean, like, you look at the best corners in the league, Revis, Richard Sherman, Darius Slay before he just fell off. Like, they're all trash talkers. They all have that confidence. You need that confidence to be a number one corner, a shutdown corner. I'm all in on Jaire, and I'm all in on Kevin King. It's going to be a huge year for him. I know we're focused on Jaire, but Kevin King has to perform this year, or there's a good chance he's not with Green Bay in 2 years, because this is going to be a contract year for him that he's going to have to earn that money.
Wrapping this list up, and again, you can see it on Twitter at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Packers will regret not signing a tight end in free agency. Disagree with that. I think we both like Jay Sternberger and what he could do. Defense ranks near bottom of the league in stopping the run. That just seems very Packer-like, so I'll just accept it. Yeah. And then Matt Schneidman thinks that Jones will lead the NFL in rushing TDs, and then the Packers won't be able to re-sign him. That is going to be one of the bigger questions of this 2020 season. If you do re-sign Aaron Jones, especially if he has a great season,
right?
Because you see these running backs get that next contract, and then they don't live up to it. Todd Gurley, an example, just getting released by the Rams and winding with Atlanta. That'll be one of the storylines we'll watch, and we'll talk more about that throughout the weeks and really throughout the season. I think, yes, every storyline every year is, can they win the Super Bowl? But a big long-term storyline for the Packers is the future of that running back position, the future of Aaron Jones. We'll talk some baseball with Tim Allen coming up here in just a couple of minutes. There is suggestions on how to make a season happen. One brewer already speaking out against it. And we're just going to catch up with Tim Allen. I mean, we have not heard his voice really on the air for a while. Tim should be on the air tonight. He should have been on the air last night. But as there's no baseball, there's no Tim Allen. So we'll rectify that, find out what he's been up to, and we'll do that all coming up here on The Fan. It is Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, Tim Allen next, coming up in just a couple minutes.
The Fan is here for you during these trying times we're living in.
I want to compliment you guys on the freshness of topics every day with no new sports going on.
You can rely on us to continue to talk sports.
I think you're genuine when you speak to the guests and you're not afraid to ask the confrontational question.
Entertain and inform you.
It's just a fantastic radio station.
AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You have by far the best sports talk show I've ever heard.
Are you in good hands? Hi, this is Andy Ayers from Allstate Insurance. My agency is in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. For 10 years, I coached youth soccer and really believe in the life lessons sports can teach. Youth sports plus 3 decades of marriage, 4 children, 16 years of tuition, a dog, 5 different houses, many cars, a family business, and planning for retirement. I've lived a lot of life, and each life event is a good time to reevaluate whether you're protected against mayhem. Google Allstate Cedarburg and give us a call. I'll make it easy for you and ensure you're in good hands.
Hey guys, Bart Winkler. During these difficult times, stay connected with The Fan. Here's a simple thing you can do to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. The Fan reminds you, if you have symptoms like a cough, fever, shortness of breath, and or a sore throat, stay home. If your symptoms are mild, you do not need to seek medical care. If your symptoms are severe, contact your primary care provider. The Fan is here for you. We're always live and local. Just tell your smart speaker to play 105.7 FM The Fan from radio.com. Go to radio.com/ Stay connected.
Hey, this is Mike McGiver for Bayview Shade and Blind. So I work with a woman who ordered her living room blinds online. She heard just how easy that process was. Well, not so fast. Wrong size, wrong color, and could not get anybody to call her back. She then heard me talk about Bayview Shade and Blind. They have been put to the test for over 94 years, and as always, they stand behind their words. Bayview Shade and Blind is not happy until the customer is happy. Go to BayviewShadeandBlind.com. That's BayviewShadeandBlind.com.
It's the Bill Michaels Show.
Ernie Johnson, host of TNT's Inside the NBA.
Just to everybody out there, I'm with you. We're all in this boat together, and we're all kind of waking up in the morning and saying, how are we going to get through this? As long as we keep in mind, how can we make somebody else's life better today? How can we help somebody else get through this?
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.